Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. This is The War Room with Harrison Smith.
Okay, guys, it's just a strategy. Just a strategy, guys. Everybody out there saying that Trump is a madman, it's all part of the plan. Are you trusting the plan yet? Trump's strategy with Iran is, quote, the madman theory, an international law expert explains. Yeah, maybe. I guess there's kind of a thin line between actually being insane and just pretending to be. It's kind of hard to tell one or the other. You know, it kind of reminds me of story of Odysseus. If you've read the Odyssey, you know that basically Odysseus knew that he was going to be summoned for war against Troy, and he had a one-month-old son. He didn't want to go to war. He knew it was going to be a disaster. He's like, I don't want to get drafted for the war. So what did Odysseus do? He pretended to be insane. You guys remember this? He pretends to be insane, and he does things like plows his field by connecting the plow to a donkey and an ox at the same time. Obviously, he's insane, right? I mean, I don't think I need to tell you. You're yoking both a donkey and an ox to a plow. I mean, that, I don't know. I guess that's what counted for insane in ancient Greece. But he was plowing his field with a donkey and an ox, which was the first sign that he'd gone mental. And then he was, instead of sowing seeds, he was sowing salt. And he was doing all of this for the benefit of the, it must have been King Menelaus, or somebody sent an adjunct to go recruit Odysseus, to go tell him he needed to come fight the Trojans. He wanted to avoid that, so he's pretending to be insane. And what eventually happens is the man who was there to recruit him, like, I don't think this guy's really insane. I think he's pretending. And so what he did was he took one-month-old Telemachus, Odysseus's son, and put him in the path of the plow. Thinking, okay, if he's really insane, then an insane person wouldn't think twice about running over a baby, right? Of course, Odysseus goes around his son, and the guy says, see, I know you're not crazy. You have logic. You have the ability to think clearly when it's something you care about. So in that way, I think Trump has kind of failed the Odysseus test. It's kind of like the madman theories, like pretending to be crazy, but then you did the thing that's crazy. Then you actually did it. Then you actually ran over your son with the plow. And it's like, oh, okay. I don't think it's a madman theory anymore. I think he's just crazy. He actually started the war with Iran. So that's the running over of Telemachus. That is the thing that you're not supposed to do if you're not actually insane. That's why we used to read these books. That's why they used to be taught as classics, because there's a lot of great stories in there that mean a lot when it comes to understanding humanity. But of course, they're old white men, so I guess they have to be replaced by, I don't know, twerking children. That's our cultural, cultural touchstone. But yeah, so he's sort of doing the Odysseus madman theory, only he's actually doing the crazy stuff that you're not supposed to do. He actually did go to war with Iran. So what? Is it a theory or not? And I don't think Iran cares. I think Iran is like, yeah, we know he's crazy. That's why we're doing this. It kind of doesn't matter what Trump says. Like, again, I think Trump is kind of in this media landscape mindset where he's like, I say this stuff and then Iran's going to respond. I don't know if Iran is even listening to him. I think at this point, he says enough stuff that, doesn't mean anything. He says they're negotiating and then he bombs them. He says they're going to bomb them and then he negotiates. It kind of doesn't matter what he says. I don't think Iran is paying attention to what he says. I think they're just doing what they're going to do. I think they're going to defend themselves. I think they're bombing certain places and that's that. And they're kind of like, okay, he's saying stuff, but doesn't affect the reality on the ground. And that's what they're contending with. So let him talk. So I don't even know how effective this madman theory is being when A, you actually are kind of insane and doing things that don't make any sense at all, including starting the war in the first place. And B, they're not even listening to him and don't care what he's saying, so it doesn't even matter. But we'll see how, but I don't know, maybe he's going to pull it off. Maybe it's all a big trick. Maybe he's Vincent the Chin Gigante after all. Another mafioso pretending to be insane to avoid his due punishment. Now, another kind of funny thing is Alex put up a video this weekend of America bombing the bridge in Iran and asking the question that I've been asking here on this show. How would you feel? How would we feel if Iran were to blow up the Golden Gate Bridge or some equivalent bridge, the one that we blew up in Iran? Like, how would you feel and how would our government treat that? And it's obviously terrorism. And of course, I've been saying for a while, I think that Iran is not attacking the American homeland because they understand that the war is unpopular and that the way to make it popular in America would be for Iran to attack innocent civilian Americans. Here's the view of the bombing of the bridge in Tehran, just absolute terrorism. Some people try to vaguely justify this by saying, well, it's not a civilian bridge. It's used to transport military equipment. It's like, okay, so is the Golden Gate Bridge. So is every bridge in America. Hell, the interstate system itself was built entirely to transport military equipment. Do you know that? Like, the reason we have I-10, I-20, like, you know, that whole system was created, I think, by Eisenhower, right, after World War II, when they're like, hey, we need a way to be able to transport, you know, people from the West Coast to the East Coast really quickly, and that doesn't exist right now because they're all little routes. That's where you get, like, Route 66. That's what used to exist rather than the interstate system. But they said, hey, we need a interstate system we can trust. Otherwise, you know, what would happen if, you know, there's an attack on the West Coast and we needed equipment from the East Coast and they're traveling down Route 94 or whatever, and it gets to a point where there's a tiny tunnel that you can't fit the equipment through because it's, you know, only graded for small cars or you know, moderate-sized trucks. It's like, no, we need a big, capable, you know, system to get through everything. So it's like, okay, if that's the excuse, well, why wouldn't they be perfectly justified in using that exact same excuse to bomb American citizens? And if not, why not? Why not? What would you say if they were to do this? Again, natural law. If you don't know what natural law is, it's the law that everyone understands by nature. It's fair is fair. They started it. These are invocations of natural law. It's playground law. It's something happened, but you started it. It's kind of your fault. You hit me in the face, I get to hit you in the face. Fair is fair, right? That's what we're violating right now, or that's what, you know, Iran would be justified in invoking if they were to start targeting American citizens. Why not? Then a very curious thing happened. Very interesting, bizarre response. Probably the number one response I got, because then I retweeted Alex and I wrote, you know, Iran is probably only not attacking American civilians because they understand that the American public would turn against them at that point. And I had so many people respond saying, no, you idiot. They're not bombing the Golden Gate Bridge because they don't have missiles that can reach that far. You moron. You absolute idiot. How could you not know this? And it's like, do these people think that the only way to bomb something is from the air? Are you morons? What the hell are you talking about? Other people like, well, you know, how would they even do that? How would it be possible to bomb a bridge here in America? It's like, I don't know. The border was wide open for 4 years and literally millions of people could have crossed they did cross. We don't know who they are. We don't know where they are. There's no reason to think that there aren't Iranian sleeper cells that are here. And you can destroy a bridge with the stuff you can buy at Walmart if you know how to do it. Do people not know this? What destroyed the Murrah building in Oklahoma City? You know what that was? It was a bunch of ammonia from manure. It was cow crap. And it shredded a federal building. You don't think they could do some significant, dare I say, permanent damage to a bridge in the same way? Of course they could. People have a suicidally misinformed level of belief in the American security state. We've had bridges destroyed by accident. Do you understand that? Do you understand that the key bridge in Baltimore was destroyed 2 years ago by an Indian cargo ship that happened to steer a little bit to the left? It's still not rebuilt. It took the whole bridge down. It was one cargo ship going like this rather than like this. It's like that's how vulnerable our infrastructure is to destruction. It would not be all that difficult for Iran to target it. And that's if they want to target the infrastructure itself. If they just want to kill Americans, do you think that would be hard? It would not be hard. Again, I don't even want to give them ideas, but it's like, do you remember the Bataclan massacre in Paris? 130 people killed. How? Well, you had like 10 guys lock the doors and start opening fire. It's not that complicated. It's not that hard to kill a couple hundred people, actually, if you're motivated to do it. And I think Iran at this point would be pretty motivated to do it if they wanted to tit for tat, just do to us what we are doing to them. I think it's possible. And so again, this bizarre thing where people are like, you dummy, they can't hit us. Their missiles aren't far enough. It's like, is that what I said? Or did I say they would bomb it? That they would do damage to it? That they would target American citizens for terrorism just like we're targeting their citizens for terrorism, and they would be justified in doing so through natural law? Is that me advocating it, saying they should do it? Absolutely not. I'm terrified of them doing it. Do you understand how many soft targets we have in this country that at any moment could become battlegrounds if Iran wanted to do that? I mean, my God. Again, you get people saying, oh, well, are you on the Iran side? Like, what the hell is wrong with y'all? I don't get it, man. I don't get where the stupidity comes from, y'all. It's not smart. It's not strategic. There is no reason for us to be bombing bridges unless you actually want, like, the only kind of real reason I can guess is maybe they want Iran. Maybe they're trying to provoke Iran for doing that. Maybe they know how unpopular it is and they're desperate for Iran to bomb some big American gathering so that we can, so they can get the justification they need. I don't know. I'm open to suggestions, but so far, nothing makes sense. And nothing makes sense. And I'm telling you, looking into all this stuff, it makes less and less sense the more you look into it. And the statements they make just do not correspond with reality whatsoever. And it's a little bit embarrassing, okay? Let's go to the new video I just put in. I may not let the whole thing play, but this was Trump just before the show started today, before War Room began, detailing the so-called rescue mission that was launched to save the pilot, which again, the pilot gets downed minutes after Trump brags about that never happening and that not being a possibility anymore. So like this whole thing is an embarrassing, you know, revocation, a proof that Trump was lying on his speech on April 1st. Which maybe it was a joke. Maybe that whole thing was a joke. Did we miss that part? I mean, he gives this speech on April 1st where he says, no, we've taken out all of their air defenses. And then it's like two jets get shot down. He's like, April 1st, I got you. April Fool's Day. You suckers thought I really was winning the war. I don't know. I'm trying to come up with something. Maybe it was a prank. Maybe he was pranking us the whole time. I don't know. But now, after this weekend, we've got another, you know, series of statements that also have questionable truth values. Let's go to this video again. Trump around 1 p.m. today. Yeah, he's trying to take out the whole country of Iran tomorrow night. So that's very exciting. The golden age. The golden age. You didn't realize it was golden because everything would be glowing in radioactive light. Let's go to Trump explaining the amazing, brilliant rescue mission, shall we?
Yeah, but nobody has the military that we have, not even close. We're the most powerful military anywhere in the world by far. The flight crews and warfighters aboard those aircraft took extraordinary risks to rescue their fellow service members. This first wave of search and rescue forces successfully located the pilot of the F-15, and he was extracted from enemy territory by an HH-60 Jolly Green 2 helicopter. Fabulous machine as our warriors faced gunfire at very close range. It's amazing that when you look at the machinery, what happened, that nobody was even injured. Meanwhile, the second crew member, a weapons system officer, it's highly respected colonel.
It's unbelievable that nobody got injured. It's, yeah, no, it's inconceivable. I don't believe it. Sorry, back to him. But yeah, truly amazing, unbelievable, right? Incredible. You're right. This report is incredible. Back to Trump.
Meeting with terrorists from the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, RUF group, as well as besieged militia and local authorities. Many, on top of everything else, they told the communities actually within inside of Iran, the people of Iran, they were given a tremendous incentive to find this pilot. Despite the peril, the officer followed his training and climbed into the treacherous mountain terrain and started climbing toward a higher altitude, something they were trained to do in order to evade capture. They want to always go as far away from the site of the shoot down. You want to go as far away because they all head right to that site. You want to be as far away as you can. And he was injured, and he was an amazing, amazing thing. He scaled cliff faces, bleeding rather profusely, treated his own wounds, and contacted American forces to transmit his location. They have a very sophisticated beeper-type apparatus that is on them at all times. And when they go out on these missions, they make sure they have lots of battery space and they're in good shape. And this one worked really well, amazingly, saved his life. We immediately mobilized a massive operation to retrieve him from the mountain holdout. And he kept going higher and higher. The mountain kept getting rougher and rougher and really very, very hard to find. The second rescue mission involved 155 aircraft, including 4 bombers, 64 fighters, 48 refueling tankers, 13 rescue aircraft, and more. We were bringing them all over, and a lot of it was subterfuge. We wanted to have them think he was in a different location because they had a vast military force out there. Thousands of people were looking. So we wanted them to look in different areas. So we were scattered all over like we were right on top of them. We had 7 different locations where they thought, and they were very confused. They said, well, wait a minute, they've got groups here, they've got groups there. It's amazing.
All right, amazing, amazing, incredible stuff. Not credible stuff, just absolutely awesome. You know, an amazing rescue story, one for the ages. Sounds like a Hollywood movie, which is suspicious. Now, I know, a lot of people out there can call me anti-American for not believing this. Here's the thing, it's not without precedent in American media having to do with wars in the Middle East, if we can cast our minds back to the story of Pat Tillman and Jessica Lynch. You remember these? Do you remember these? The Jessica Lynch story. It was basically entirely fabricated. Another, you know, thrilling rescue story in the middle of the Iraq war. In that case, it's been well known for several years. The U.S. military outright invented lies regarding literally every aspect of the Jessica Lynch story. And the Tillman family for years has been vocally complaining about the lies they were told by the Pentagon regarding the circumstances surrounding Pat Tillman's death, the pressure on other soldiers to conceal the truth, and the crass and disgusting exploitation of these lies to serve the administration's political interest. None of this is new, so why is Congress holding hearings to investigate these matters only now? This was all the way back in 2007. So again, from this 2007 Salon article. The answer is, of course, because the Republicans who trolled the Congress for the last 4 years absolutely suppressed any attempt whatsoever to exert oversight on the administration. They not only investigated nothing, they aggressively blocked every real investigation into allegations of wrongdoing and corruption on the part of the administration. So again, the idea that they might launch a fake story about a rescue mission in the middle of a war to beef up support for the war, not exactly out of the question. There's also a lot to suggest that perhaps this wasn't a straightforward rescue mission, that this entire operation may have been cover for an attempt to extract the uranium. Now, I know I heard Trump, Alex, say that he didn't believe that story. I'm sure he has good reasons. I personally was kind of expecting that to be the case in the first place. Maybe there's a little bit of confirmation bias, but I told you on Friday that it looked like the way the bombing was being done and the way that troops were being arranged, it looked like there was going to be an attempt to extract the uranium in sort of a in-and-out Venezuela-style operation, instead of kidnapping Maduro, we're going to steal the uranium. And then there's a lot of speculation that that's exactly what this really was. Again, I don't know if that's the case or not. I don't know if we will know until it's relitigated, like the Jessica Lynch story. Maybe by the next time the Democrats get in charge, they might actually investigate this. I also wouldn't be holding my breath for that to happen. But we've heard Trump lay out what he says happened. Let's go to clip 23 here. This is Iran's version of the story from their national spokesman.
In the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful, we have granted you a clear victory following the laughable attempts by America's terrorist army to conduct search and rescue operations for their downed fighter pilot. Several enemy aircraft entered our beloved nation of Iran on the morning of April 16th, 1405. By God's grace, and with the vigilance and readiness of Islam's warriors in our armed forces, using electronic warfare, advanced air defense systems, a ground-based mosaic defense strategy, and establishing a military and security perimeter, several of these aircraft, including two C-130 military transport planes and two Black Hawk helicopters, were struck and forced to make emergency landings in an area south of Isfahan. After our heroic Iranian warriors completed the siege of the enemy, the humiliated foe was forced to heavily bomb their own downed aircraft, equipment, commanders, and soldiers to prevent the disgrace of President Trump and the hollow facade of their army. The ignorant president, trapped in the war and aggression he started, and the incompetent, cowardly generals of America's terrorist defeated army have clearly understood that any aggression, ground operation, or infiltration at any point in Iran will be met with decisive and humiliating defeat by the power of divine soldiers. The iron fists of our warriors and armed forces, the heroic Basij, and the brave and courageous nation of this land. The disgrace of the trapped president and America's defeated army cannot be repaired through word games, media warfare, and psychological operations. There is no doubt that all these victories and proud achievements of Iran have been under the special grace and favor of Almighty God, and we are certain that the divine promise will be fulfilled in the final victory of truth over falsehood. And victory comes only from Allah, the Almighty, the All-Wise.
So there you go. Two competing stories of truth, probably somewhere in the middle. I'll tell you why people think this was a failed operation to seize the uranium on the other side. There is some evidence there. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies, the delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact? Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance.